Water bottle again?
Nope, that's over. Babies are crying. It's time to get going. Do you have extra of those pacifiers? Because they're going to need it tonight. All right? Pass them out. That's right. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 3. Actually, I'm hoping this will be a blessing to you tonight and help you. I call it immunizing the inner man. And we're going to talk about the inner man here tonight, or the inward man. Strengthening the inward man. And we're really just going to touch upon proper prayer for this and guidance for this and just the principle of what the inner man is, to explain to you who or what the inner man is, because it's important for us to understand that and differentiate that from what we might think. And it will help you if you listen and let the Lord deal with your heart with this and apply it to your life. These are things that will strengthen you in your walk with God. That's really what prayer and preaching is to do. Prayer and preaching is to strengthen you in your walk with God. It isn't to please your flesh. It isn't to help your flesh, even though we pray for things like for your good health. And we do. But that's not the most important thing to pray for. The most important thing to be prayed for is your spiritual life, your walk with God. That's the most important prayer that I have for all of you, is not that your finances are always met, but it's that you are walking in the fear of the Lord. It's your spiritual life. Because if your spiritual life is right, then all these other things shall be added unto you. But if you're not right with God, you can't get through anything. The least bit of thing will cause you to faint and fall over and give up and quit. That's why you need strengthened in all might, like it says, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Look at the direction, the specifics there, right? That he would grant you, so it's a gift. That gift is according to the riches of his glory, and the gift is to be given to you to be strengthened with might. Now, we'll really talk about that more, Lord willing, next week. That might, the might that is necessary for the fight, what you need to for your spiritual walk in your battles. Strengthen with might by his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God, to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. It's by his Spirit. That's how you are strengthened. It is by the Spirit of God. That's how the new man, that's how the inner man, in the inner man, which is not this flesh that will fall to the ground and die. It is the inner man, it is the new man in Christ. And we'll explain that. Father, Lord, please bless us now and help us as we go through the scriptures here. And Lord, help us to apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, God wants our flesh to be weak and our inner man to be strong. God has might for the fight. And it is his desire that we would walk with him and that we would not faint in the way. But that though this outward man perish, inwardly we are renewed day by day. Inward renewal is different than the outward comfortabilities of the flesh. That's the problem. We confuse the two together. We believe prosperity has to do with the pleasing of our flesh. No, biblical prosperity has to do with the strengthening of the Spirit in the man, in the new man. That's what it has to do with. So number one, we're going to talk about this divine characteristic of prayer. You know, where we begin our prayers matters. One of the divine characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he prayed for the spiritual needs of his disciples. He prayed first, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He prayed for the will of God to be done first before he prayed for their necessary food. Right? He prayed for the will of God to be done. He prayed for them to walk with God. He prayed for the spiritual needs of his people. Paul, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he prays for the spiritual needs here of the Ephesians. He prays for them to be that they would be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying specifically for that. I think a lot of modern day prayer fails. and in churches fails. And maybe even in your own life, it is failing because you are praying for things that are carnal before you are praying for things that are spiritual. You're not praying for spiritual strength and victory and vigor and power from God. You are praying more for your temporal needs to be met. Your order is wrong. Your order is extremely selfish. And when your order is like that to please your flesh, trouble comes. It's very shallow. Jesus prayed God's will before he prayed to give us this day our daily bread. The spiritual walk with God is the most important need of any man's life, and especially the saints of God. Your spiritual walk is more important than your temporal, than the things that you have in this life, than the goods and the things you have. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 28 through 29. This is the same approach that Paul, the Apostle Paul, uses here in Ephesians. So it's scripture. And it follows the scriptural order that Christ laid down and the Apostle Paul continued. The importance in prayer, Luke 12, 28 and 29. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. He's saying that you're not to seek, those things aren't to be the most important thing in your life. The most important thing are not the temporal needs, the home that you have, the health that you have, the food that you have, and the things that you have. That isn't the most important thing of your life. You're not to seek that. Sometimes we believe that the Bible is concerned with ending all of our problems. That you pray to God for God to end all your problems. Where do you see that design in Scripture anywhere? Jesus didn't pray for all their problems to be ended. You really think that's what God wants for you? All your trials to be ended? That's called heaven. Let me help you again. That's called heaven. Are you praying to die? Are you wanting God to take you home? Are you asking to die? Is that what you're asking for? When you're asking for all your trials to end and to be over? You're asking for heaven. You're asking for death. That's not biblical. God's focus and the Apostle Paul's focus is not concerning God putting down all of our outside troubles and concerns and problems and trials. We are promised tribulation. We are promised trials. We are promised persecution in this life. So when you pray that there will be no trouble or that there will be no problems in that sense or that all of them will be wiped away, it's not a biblical prayer. It's not the way Jesus prayed. He didn't pray that way. To pray the end of all these things will not be answered unless it is answered, one, by Christ, his return. It's okay. You can pray for Christ's return. That's fine, right? Or you actually pray for your own death. Because trials will never end until you go home. They will never end on this side. The scriptures are more concerned with our personal walk and how we deal with the things that come our way, not the absence of all strife. Do you realize that? Do you realize that the Bible is not, that God's word, as we are taught and to pray, as we are taught through the scriptures, that it is not the alleviation of all trouble. It is God is concerned with our personal walk, how you deal with things that come your way. You're praying, God, end all my trials, or God, make this trial go away, or God, take this all away, or God, make this all clean and all easy and all simple, and take all my trials away. What you're longing for is heaven. It's fine that you tell the Lord that you want to go to heaven. But what is total nonsense is to believe that you can pray away all trials and tribulations, or that is a success in prayer. No. It is God that wants to make us to rise to the occasion over all of our trials and to mature us through them, not give us escape out of them. All I can say about us as a people, what a bunch of whiny babies! We expect things that are absolutely out of reality. They make no sense at all. You're asking God to take away all your trials, all your problems, all your things there, so you can just live it easy. No, that's called heaven. See, so many wish to go to heaven, but why? Do you want rapture from responsibility? I want you to answer that question to yourself and to the Lord honestly. Do you want to go to heaven right now and get out of everything because you want just raptured from all your responsibility? Because people that tend to want to get out of things, that don't want to grow and mature through things, they want raptured from their responsibility. I'm not talking about pre-trib, post-trib. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. Whether you die tomorrow, friend. You'd rather maybe die than suffer through and grow and learn and mature in the Lord. Well, just take me home, then I don't have to deal with it anymore, God. Well, you're not the only one that felt that way. A lot of people did. A lot of people still do, but that's not going to teach you anything. You're not going to learn anything from that. Well, let me ask you, every time those men wanted it, did God give it to them? Nope. Jonah's looking at the gourd. He's like, man, I will die. Lost my gourd. Right? He just wanted to die. Elijah's like, oh, I just want to die. Jezebel's going to kill me. Oh, you ain't going nowhere. Get back in there. Every time every man wanted to do that, God said, I ain't going to let you die. You're going back to work. Yeah, you ain't getting out of it that easy. You're going back to work. Job, yeah. Job's trials, horrible trials, hard trials. No, you're not leaving, Job. What a silly notion we have of prayer and of victory when we believe God will end all of our strife on this side. God may leave you on this earth a while longer for you to learn. So for you to learn this, that it's a fight, and you're not to turn tail and run, but you're to fight. We don't run from our fears, we face them. Christians don't run from their fears. They conquer them. Amen! They conquer them, they don't run from them. I had the Lord do that to me. I said, oh God, I don't want that to ever happen to me. All that stuff, look at all those things. Man, I had people accuse me of the most horrible things in the world. And God says, no, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to stand right there and face it. Because you didn't do it and you ain't got nothing to run for. You stand right there. And what did he say? What did he do? He said, I'll make you stand through it all. You'll stand through it all. Amen. And by God's grace, I did. Amen. I know what victory is. God showed me. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul's not even giving them instructions for prayer that gives them a way out of all their present distress. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and is the same as Christ's prayer for us. He's not praying for them that God would end all their struggles. If you will think about any marriage problems you have, and you're ready to say, I have the worst wife in the world. Or I have the worst husband in the world. Let's say that's true. Well, Paul would not have you pray that it would end. Paul would have you pray to be victorious. If you had the worst husband in the world, then you ought to pray to be the best wife in the world. Amen. See, the goal is that you personally would, by grace, be able to rise above all your circumstances to be the husband or the wife that God wants you to be, not to sit and make excuses about your life. See, prayers are to reflect the personal responsibility that we have to walk with God ourselves, no matter what comes our way. Do you believe that? Maybe some of you are praying, God, take this away from you. And not, God, show me what to do as a Christian to rise up above these circumstances and live the victorious Christian life. And not to be a constant whiner and an excuse maker. It's to rise up. You think God wants you strengthened so you can run away and quit? No, you're to pray for strength so you can fight on and do what God has commanded you to do. That's what God wants you to do. Not that God's going to end all your strife here, end all your trials here, end all those things here. No, that's never going to happen. But that you would rise above it by grace. Would you wake up? Would you listen? I'm telling you, I can't scream loud enough because you're so thick-headed. You don't listen. And yes, I'm talking to you. It's just amazing to me to see people ignore straight truth and not grow. And they flounder. They're like they're drowning in the water. And you got the hand there to help them. And they don't reach for it. It's just a shame is what it is. It's an absolute shame. If you sit under this preaching and live a worthless Christian life, it's your own fault. You're not going to blame me at the judgment seat. I warned you. I told you. I rose up early. I stayed up late. I did what God called me to do. I'm not going to take the blame for what you're doing. I've had enough people try to do that, and I've watched them. They don't want to listen to the truth. They don't want to follow the truth. They want to fight, and they want to rebel against God. They want to whine about their life. God didn't call you to whine about your life. God called you to rise up victorious and live this Christian life. There's no such thing as Christian losers. It's nonsense. You know, Paul had no control on when he got out of jail. He didn't whine about it, though, did he? He sat there and served the Lord and wrote a bunch of epistles. He didn't sit there and act like he was in prison, did he? Some of you act like prison and you're in liberty. You're in prison right now. You're in liberty. You don't have any control over what your spouse does. So why whine about it? Why not rise up and pray and get strength from the Lord to be the best spouse, the best mom or dad you can be, and be victorious in the situation that you're in? Why wouldn't you do that? You don't have any control over it. You can't change it. You can pray about it, and you can live the life that God wants you to live, but you're not going to change them. God is the one that's in the business of change. See, the point is, what he is praying for is that they build up resistance. That they build up resistance in the inner man by the Spirit of God. Not live a life free of turmoil. And honestly, I can say this, there's no greater whiners than Christian whiners. We have everything to praise God for, but praise him less. We're to ask God to help us to rise above what we are too busy whining and expecting that we should be exempted from trials and tribulations. Even though our Lord and Savior walked this earth for 33 years and was never exempted from trials and tribulations, somehow we think that we're going to be, or that we should be, or that we're owed that. You know, your natural body will build up resistance to sickness, right? God made it that way, right? You can do things to help that. To viruses, to colds, to things that come your way. Some children have very weak immunity, so their resistance must be built up in order for them to be able to resist the sickness that comes, right? They have to build an immunity up. They don't have much. And children start out like that anyway, and they grow and they build up, right? And so it is spiritually. It is not the absence of the virus that builds up resistance, but the built-up resistance to it that matters. We are constantly exposed to trials. We are constantly exposed to viruses of this life. And we have to build up our resistance to it spiritually. You are not going to end that. That's not going to end on this side. So what you have to do is build up, strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man. Your inner man needs strengthened. If you find yourself fainting and giving over into your flesh, it's because your inner man is not strengthened. You may have the biggest mouth in the room and be the weakest Christian ever. But you may be able to talk a big game, and you may be louder than anybody else, but you may be the weakest Christian ever. Because it's the inner man that shows the strength that to get you through the trials. It's the spirit man walking in the spirit that gets you through the trials of this life and gets you through the challenges of this life. That's what it is. That's how it happens. Number two, Christ calls us to pray so we don't faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, to fill their spiritual lungs with the Holy Spirit and power to pray and get the spiritual oxygen they need to combat whatever comes their way. We are not to focus on what ails us, but on what strengthens us. I'm going to say that again because you're dull of hearing sometimes. We are not to focus on what ails us, but on what strengthens us. If you're always focusing on the disease and never the cure, you're going to stay sick. Make sense? I could sit and moan about how sick I am, or I could do something about it. But if I keep doing the same things that make me sicker, that's insanity to think that there's going to be a different result. And that's how Christians, a lot of Christians live. They focus on the darkness. We need to build up in prayer, not a hyper focus on the darkness and the diseases of this life. You know, when I dealt with depression, I could not focus on how dark it was, but on the light. I had to focus on the light of Christ, to get in His Word and to see His light and have Him shine His Word in me. It's the only way. If you focus on the darkness will consume you. It will consume you. If you focus on the negativity, you'll have it. You'll be negative. You'll be consumed with negativity. You'll be consumed. But by the way, let's use the biblical word to that, not negative, but darkness. You'll be consumed with darkness. You know how many people are consumed with darkness? You either focus on the light or you focus on the darkness. You either meditate on light or you meditate on darkness. Most people choose to meditate on darkness and they continue down the same destructive path and get sicker. You focus on darkness, you become darker. You focus on the light and it will dispel the darkness. We are to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please, verse 16 through 18. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, though my mind be broken, though my body be broken, though my health be broken, it's no excuse for the inner man to be broken. Amen. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look, Paul said, Paul didn't have any eyesight. I mean, he was an ugly dude because he got rocked to sleep, right? He got stoned. He looked horrible. He was ugly. He was just ugly. They looked there and were like, man, that dude is ugly. He came in and preached. He wrote these fantastic letters, these amazing letters, and then they saw him and they're like, ugh. Yep. Who is that? That's Paul. I mean, you'd be ugly too if you got stoned like that. Couldn't see. He's ugly. But he said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But his spirit man wasn't weak. He said, I know where the power is. When he went there, he's like, yeah, they're talking to you about how fancy their speech is and how everything else. Well, I'm not going to know the fanciness of their speech, but we'll know the power when I get there. That's what you'll know. See, that's the difference. You can say anything you want to, but the proof is in that inward man. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not, here's your directions. You're looking at the darkness. You're spending your time meditating, searching the internet for darkness, searching, running around after darkness and everything else. And look what it says here. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Your troubles, your trials, the things of this life around you, they are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Those are the things that you're, the eternal weight of glory, right? Those are the things that you're to be focused on. Your focus is wrong. Your thinker's broken. You're not thinking right. See, the most important thing about this that Paul is teaching here, and Jesus taught the same thing when they are praying, that you need to pray for the right things. You need to have the right understanding of what prayer is and what your where your victory really lies. And some of you meditate on darkness and dark things all the time. You never meditate on the light. You're always watching and listening to darkness. I've watched God bless some of you, and I mean really bless you. And then you find something dark to say about the blessing that God's blessed you with. It's amazing. I'll sit there and I'll see somebody be blessed, and they'll complain about it and say something negative about what God did for them. I'm like, really? So God gives this to you? God's blessed you? God's taken care of you? And you're complaining about what God gave you? You're saying it ain't good enough? You're finding something dark in the light that God has given you? Why? It's because you're meditating on things that aren't right. See, what God showed me is this very thing right here. That if you don't focus on what's going to help you be the Christian that God wants you to be and strengthen you, you will fall to those, you will faint in the trial that you have. When it's been revealed to you that there's something in your life that needs worked on, you need to attack that thing with everything you have. Just like sickness, right? When you were sick, I'm sure Mrs. Bicey probably brought like, I don't know, like 8 gallons of garlic juice and like opened Andrew's mouth and put a funnel on it and stuck it down him and just like she probably took a whole swamp full of superfood and just stuffed it in his mouth and with a funnel and just poured water down it. Keep it open, Andrew! Keep it open, right? I'm sure she did as best she could to make sure that he was fully flushed with everything he could be, right? And to build up his immunity, right? To make it, you drank things you didn't even know existed, didn't you? There were herbs that you tried you didn't even know were real, man. Whew. I hope she checked them out first, but anyway. You're trying to attack it with everything you have. It's just like, I think about that incurables, right? We think about, what is that doing? That's attacking with everything you possibly can, blasting that with as much nutrients as you can, right? To strengthen the immunity. You're not really killing the disease as much as you are strengthening the immunity. You build up the immunity so the body can resist it. So you're not focusing on like chemotherapy that takes radiation and tries to fry everything. Well, that's what you're doing. You're just frying everything. You're looking at it. You're meditating on it. You're just frying everything. You're blasting everything like that. Instead of building your spiritual immunity to be strong so whatever trial comes your way, you're able to stand. Do you see what I mean? The focus is wrong. We don't deal with like, my Christian life is not dealing with just certain temptations that come my way and I hyper-focus on that. No, it's building my spiritual immunity up so when things do come my way and temptations do come my way, I'm able to stand through them because the immunity is strong. Spiritually, the inward man is strong. He's not weakened. So when Jesus said, watch and pray that you what? Enter not into temptation. He didn't tell him, watch and pray for this thing coming right here. No. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Why? Because watching, being circumspect, being sober, being alert, paying attention, and then praying and being strengthened. Some of you aren't even prayed up for the next trial you have coming your way. Because you're not in a daily walk in prayer. You're not strengthened for it yet. Comes your way, takes you right off your feet. You want to give up and quit and done. Why? You ain't prayed up for it. You're supposed to be living with that immunity, right? So when that sickness comes around in the church, right? Well, you liken that to the health. When that sickness comes around in the church, it don't totally blast you and kill you and take you off your feet for like 2 months. Right? Same thing spiritually. When that trial comes or that temptation comes or that comes your way, you're not taken off by it when that comes, but you're strong and that spiritual immunity is strong. That's what Paul is saying here. Is that making any sense to you?
Amen. Come on.
I really hope it is. Man, I think it is to me. But sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself, but that's okay. I need it too, so that's all right. I'll deal with it. But it's just the way it is. It's like, Amen. Wake up!
Come on, preacher.
I'm sorry. That's just the frustration of a pastor. That's just the way it is. I just, when you have an urgency, a sense of urgency, and you see people drowning, and you don't think they're listening to you, right? You don't think they're listening to you? You're trying to yell as loud as you can. Listen, your whole life's going to be in shambles if you don't pay attention. It's like, oh, they're going to sleep. Okay. All right. Amen. How do you expect to build up any spiritual immunity when all you focus on is darkness? How, when you have little reflection on the truth, do you expect to be stronger to get through the challenges of this life? Your marriage will fail. Your job will be in failure. Your daily living is in shambles. Yet you think it's profitable to focus on everything that will not help you? Paul didn't pray that way. He knew there are real problems in the Christian life. He knew people were being thrown into prison, beheaded, persecuted, and all kinds of other things. And he didn't pray that all those things would go away and that God would end all persecution. That's not what he said. No. What did he say? Well, look at Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Why? Because Paul knew that he was strengthened by might. By the spirit in the inner man. He's sitting in prison right now and he's writing these epistles to them. And he's not flinching. Like he's still fighting. He's in prison, but he's not out there preaching the gospel on the streets, but he's starting churches in Caesar's house. But he's still serving God. Prison bars haven't stopped him from loving Jesus. It didn't stop him from serving God. Amen. He kept going. Why? Because how are these martyrs able to go to the stake and they just walked up in there and they're joyful and they're singing songs? Yet we cry when there's and we're weak and down and faint and want to give up when we have the least bit of trials that come our way. I'll tell you why. Spiritual immunity. They were prayed up. They were walking with God. They were walking with the Lord. Paul didn't pray they'd be transported out of it, did he? Excuse me, I got to grab this big jug. Don't worry, it's just water. Unless they spiked it with apple cider vinegar. Yeah. Where'd you get that water at? Oof. Just kidding. You know, some of us are just, we act like carnal as babes. You know, you profess to be saved a long time, but act like gray-headed, immature babies. Your growth is stunted because your focus is wrong. You have no immunity built up in the inner man, so you faint in the way. You fainted and you will continue to faint because you don't focus on what Christ and Paul focused on. You don't pray for what Christ and Paul prayed for. You pray for just your temporal needs to be met mostly. Those are the focus of everything. But you're not concerned about the spiritual walk. By the way, there are people that have lived this entire life with fornication, wickedness. Christians that have lived this entire life, fornication, wickedness, lasciviousness, nasty perversion all around them. And God kept them pure through it all. It wasn't because there was an absence of temptation that came their way. It wasn't because there was never any pornography. It wasn't because there wasn't the strange woman down the road, right? That was always there, wasn't it? Well, why? What happened? They were strengthened in all might in the inner man by his spirit in the inner man. So you say, well, this world's getting worse, man. There's pornography everywhere. Amen. I agree. It is getting worse. And it is horrible. And it's right there on your phone. And it's everywhere you see. But you know what? That ain't the reason why men fall. Men fall because they give over to their dark hearts and they walk in the flesh and they don't walk in the spirit. Amen. And they're not strengthened in all might, the inner man. Don't just pray that no hussy ever comes or no slut ever comes your husband's way. Pray that God would strengthen your husband and that he would walk with God and that he would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and he would put on the whole armor of God and that God would protect him. That's what you pray for your children. You don't become insecure and think you're not good enough for your husband or your wife because of situations like that. No, you pray God to do that, to strengthen them, to strengthen your children, that they would walk with God, that they would be strong in the Lord. There's always perversion around. There's always going to be strange women around. There's always going to be perverts around. They're always going to be there, friend. You need to pray for strength. You need to pray that God strengthens one another. That's what you pray for. And you trust God to do his work. Amen. Paul knew what was going on. He understood it. You have no immunity built up in the inner man, so you faint in the way. You have fainted and you will continue to. This is the only way for you to be more than conquerors instead of being professional Christian losers. Making excuses for everything. It's really pathetic when we do. When you hear God's people make excuses for why they can't be faithful to God. You're not faithful to God because you're not walking in the Spirit. That's as plain as day. You try to make up all this other stuff. Well, my mind, my depression, my this, my that. My mommy didn't hug me. My daddy punched me in the face and all. I get it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry a bear attacked you in the woods. I'm sorry all that happened. I'm sorry it happened. But that's over. And you don't get to use that as an excuse. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and blame your daddy or blame your mommy or blame anybody else. Amen.
That's good.
You stop making excuses. When God shows you something in your spiritual character that's wrong, you get it out. You attack that and you work on that and you understand it. And you grow and you listen and you follow the Lord and you be obedient. Amen. You know, I'm not a pessimist when I realize that man's days are few and full of evil. Or like Jacob, few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage, he said. But if I act like, I can be a pessimist though if I focus on the evil and meditate on it, and not on the truth. And what is going to immunize me and build up my immunity for the trouble that is upon me. Build up the inner man and strengthen the resistance. Because the heart is the matter. And the matter is the heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It ain't nothing else out there. It's your heart. It's nothing else. It's your heart. That's the problem, though. You don't want to think you're that depraved. You don't want to think that you can be deceived or you're that wicked. Yes, you are, and then some. And we can be, and we have to, that's why we have to walk in the Spirit. That's why we have to guard our heart. That's why we have to protect our heart. That's why we have to keep our heart with all diligence. That's why, for out of it are the issues of life, everything. That's why Jesus said, it's what is in a man that defileth a man, right? Not what cometh out. It's the fallen nature of man that's defiling. That's why you're to put a guard on your heart. Strengthen the man's heart, and whatever comes his way, he'll be strong. That's just true. Strengthen your heart, being strengthened in the Lord. Whatever comes your way, you'll be strong. You'll be able to stand through it. But when the inner man is weak, when the inner man is weak like that, you'll fall for the first thing that comes your way. You'll give up and you'll faint in the way for the first thing that comes your way. Why? Because you're weakened. Your inner man's not strong. By the way, God starts to strip. When you pray for these things, God's going to start stripping your confidence in the flesh away. You're going to think spiritually that's a terrible thing, but it's not. It's a very good thing. Because nothing's gotten worse spiritually. It's just your dependence on the flesh is waning. God is showing you that you've depended on your own, you know, your own strength. God said, no, that'll never do. If you depend on your strength, you'll be devoured. If you depend on, by the way, any one of us, whether it's your job, whether it's your work, whether your work is your mind or your work is your body or whatever it is, if you depend on that more than you do God, and you're so dependent on that, God will take your strength away from you. He'll take your mind away from you. Why? So you learn to trust Him. So your confidence is in Him. So you realize all good things come from God. That God takes care of His own children. And that they have to trust Him. God begins to strip away things that it doesn't feel good when God, but all He's doing is burning off the dross. That's all He's doing is burning off the impurities of the metal. But you think it's bad. So because sorrow fills your heart and you think it's a terrible thing when God shows you that you aren't able to do anything. Without me, you can do nothing, He said. It's not a terrible thing for you to be shut up to God, you know. It's not a terrible thing for you to have everything in this life turned upside down and you're actually shut up to God. That's not a bad thing. It feels like a bad thing because we love our flesh and we love our pleasures. But it's not a bad thing. Because to be shut up to God is the safest place that you can be. Why? Because that fire, the closer you get to the Lord, that fire is going to burn out the impurities of your faith. God's going to show you the weaknesses in your faith. You think you have a lot of faith, and God's going to show you, O ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? He's going to show you that you're not that strong, and that you need Him, and you need to be dependent upon Him because you're not that strong. The heart must be strengthened. The man, the inner man must be stronger. So then what is the inner man? Or who is the inner man, I should say? What or who? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's your answer right there. The outward man perish. That's his flesh. The moment you were born, you lead to the day of your death. Yep. You're born to die in this world. You'll be born in this world, and unless Jesus comes, you will die in this world. The minute you're living, you're born to die. You must die. There's a death sentence on this flesh because of Adam, right? There's a death sentence on this flesh and because of our sin. So we have a death sentence in us. This flesh will fall. It will die. But guess what doesn't die? The inner man. He never dies. The inner man never dies. He doesn't die. When you die, your inner man doesn't die. Where does he go? Heaven. He doesn't die. He drops his robe of flesh. That's all he does. He drops his robe of flesh and he continues on. That's why the day you got saved, you got everlasting life. You got eternal life. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I have it now. Right? Amen. This flesh is going to drop, but the inner man's not going to drop. The inner man's going to fly. Amen. The inner man's going to fly straight to glory. That old flesh, we're looking down there. Oh, there it is. Phew. Right? In a moment. Paul said in Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's not his flesh that delights in the law of God. You get that, right? Your flesh hates the law of God. It hates everything about the law of God. It hates doing right. I don't know why you're so surprised at that. It always shocks me when people are that surprised that. You're that surprised that your flesh hates to do right? Really? Why? Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's the inward man, the inner man that delights to obey God. The inner man said, one is the new man that is imparted at salvation. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That inner man is the new man. You're to put on the new man. You're to walk in the new man. The inner man delights in the law of God. He delights in it. It's the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, and that inner man that is regenerated, that enjoys God. Everything else wants to fight God. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Remember? The inner man is called the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. See, that's what countenance is supposed to shine on you, lady and gentleman, by the way. That's what countenance is supposed to shine on you, the inner man. That's, amen. It's the walk with God. It's that inner man. It's a new man. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. It's the inner man. We see that the hidden man needs strengthening. The inner man, the new man, is God's gift and is the reality of every born-again saint. But it must be strengthened, stirred up, activated, and encouraged. But you think it's like automatic, like it's on autopilot. No, your flesh is autopilot. That's autopilot, cussing people out, hating people, wanting, you know, being jealous over people, envying people, lusting after women, lusting after men, lusting after riches, right? That's natural, right? You don't even have to think about that. Your mind dreams it up when you're sleeping. Why? What is that? It's a fallen man. It just dreams it up. Right? Envy, lust, anger, wrath, malice, seditions, envies, murders, drunkenness. That's what's natural. That's the natural man. That's what happens when you wake up in the morning. That's the natural man. Sin. Bent on sin. That's why you have to put on the new man. You have to feed the new man. You have to strengthen the new man. Because the old man has a lot of experience. Right? The old man has a lot of experience and a lot of time. It's been around a long time. Been leading you to go your own way a long time. That's what's natural. Amen. So it has to be stirred up. It has to be activated. It has to be encouraged. It has to be strengthened, the new man. It has to be put on. Note that the strengthening is for the inner man. God does strengthen our physical bodies, but his emphasis is always on the inner man. The inner man can be strengthened even as the outward man is decaying and dying, rotting. There are Christians that have been old men, 90 years old, their bodies, 100 years old, their bodies barely, and women, their bodies barely strong enough to do anything. They need assistance to get up and go to the bathroom or anything else like that because their bodies are weakened and tired and old. Yet those old ladies and those old men can sit in a chair and pray for hours for saints. And temptation and things come their way, and they have a calmness and a stillness in the Spirit of God because they've walked with God for so many years, and they have a strong walk with God, and their flesh is dying around them. It's rotting around them, yet they have a peace that passeth all understanding. Why? Because they walk with God. That's why. They walk with God. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We live in a body of death. Romans 7:24. It's a body of death. That's what this is. It's a body of death. We have the treasure of salvation in these earthen vessels. The inner man must be the focus. The body needs to be strengthened every day. In like manner, the soul needs constant supplies of grace. Piety needs to be constantly invigorated, or it withers and decays. If you don't work on your spiritual walk, your flesh will consume you. If you don't build yourself up in your most holy faith, your flesh will consume you. Your lusts will take over you. You will follow them. You will do the bidding of this of the flesh. You will. It will happen. It's not going to be automatic. That's why you're commanded to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're commanded to walk in the new man. All of them are not passive. They are aggressive things. They are not passive things that passively they happen. No, no, no. What happens without any problem at all or without any exertion at all is sin. It's like you don't have to teach a child to lie, and you don't have to teach him to cheat. You don't have to teach him to steal. You don't have to teach him to be selfish. They come out selfish. Right? They come out liars and they come out selfish. No one taught them that. Who taught you that? Nobody did. Nobody had to.
Right.
Nobody had to teach them to be liars. I mean, you might. You might do wrong by teaching them that and make it worse. But you don't have to teach that. You have to teach them to do right. And you have to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't happen automatically. Every Christian needs grace given each day to enable him to bear trials, to resist temptation, to discharge his duty, and to live a life of faith. They need strength for that. They need active strength for that. The lost have no inner man to be strengthened. They try to obey God in the flesh, and if they do try, it usually ends up miserably with no success. I know I tried that before I was saved. Tried to go back to church and live a Christian life. Boy, that was horrible. That did not work out. I was miserable and I couldn't do it. God showed me I wasn't saved. That's why I couldn't do it. You don't know the new man. You ain't a Christian. Because I always started wondering. I remember asking my pastor 6 months before I got saved, Pastor, how in the world did I go out and live in the world and do all the wicked things the way I did it? Right? With no... like no conviction. There's men that do it, but they are constantly convicted when they're backslidden, right? And they know what they're doing is wrong. But me, I just went on and lived life. I wasn't convicted about any of it. And you know, he said, well, that's a good question. And he just left it for the Lord to deal with me. But he said, you know, sometimes men, you know, it's their upbringing. They may get saved at a young age, but they have really bad upbringing that can affect them, you know, and things. It's like, oh, okay. Well, God showed me. No, that wasn't it. You just ain't never been changed before. You ain't never been saved before. And then he saved me, and I could live the Christian life. Why? Because I had the Spirit of God. Jacob was the same way. I watched him make so many excuses and do so much stuff. I'm not being mean to him.
Right.
He knows I'm not.
That's right.
But it's true. He made so many excuses and everything else. I was like, what are you talking about? Look what you did. You don't blame somebody else for that. Man, was it a month later? About a month later, man, God was putting him through a spiritual meat grinder, man. He was just... he had a lot of arrogance. And I told him, I said, look, you deserve it. Like, isn't that what I told you? Something like that. I was pretty hard on him. But he needed it, though. God used it. It was he needed it, you know. And then he got saved, and then his wife got saved. Not long after that, a couple months, wasn't it? And Scott got saved. Amen? God used it. And he's called to preach. Right? So I did the same thing that old pastor did to me when he looked at me. Thank God he did it. Amen. Thank God he is man enough to do it. Spiritual enough to do it, right? See, the lost, they have no strength like that. A lost man cannot retreat to the inner man when times get tough. See, you may face some tough times, and you are facing some tough times in this room right now, some of you. But you have to listen to me. You have an inner man. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have the inner man to retreat into and to pray and to build up in your most holy faith and be strengthened in all might by His Spirit in the inner man. You're not left alone like the world is. You know why they do go out and commit suicide? I don't mean they're tempted, but they just go out and they do it and they off themselves because they don't have an inner man. They don't have it. I don't believe in Christian suicide. I don't believe that for 5 seconds. Not at all. I don't believe that at all. Why is that? Because it's not in the Bible anywhere. I see lost people and those that are like Judas Iscariot that sorrowed unto this world, but I don't see saved people that do that. I see men tempted to want to die all through the Bible.
That's right.
Asking God to take them. Yeah. God, yep. Just kill me, please. Get me out of here.
Yep.
You ain't going nowhere. Boy, chances are you pray like that, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to add some years to your life. That's what you're going to do.
It'll lift you up.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. See, a lost man can't retreat to the inner man when times get tough, when the whole world is bearing down on him and his whole world is turned upside down, when everyone has abandoned him, when he is alone and desperate and torn and ruined. He has nowhere to go. There's no inner man, so his sorrow is worldly sorrow. And they go out and they hang themselves. They give up, they quit. They blow their heads off. They hurt somebody else. Why? There's only animal passions and desires and flesh and senses of the flesh that are all dead in trespasses and sins, and they are led by their passions and animalistic lusts, and that's all they can do. So that's why you see these men go out and kill people and blow people up and do all these things. Why? They don't have the inner man. They don't have it. If you had it, God would strengthen you. The Holy Ghost would. That doesn't mean, strengthening doesn't mean ending your trial. It means strengthening you through the trial. That's the lesson God showed me. See, I thought victory was, I was going to rise above my enemies, you know, flaming cross, whole thing, you know, seed in the sky. And I was, oh, no, you ain't going. He said, no, you ain't getting out of nothing. You're going to go right through that. I ain't letting you out of this. You're going to go through it and you're going to learn. And you're going to learn to trust me through it when the trial doesn't end. What do I do when the trial doesn't end? Right? See, Christians don't do that. They don't quit like that. Why? Because Christians can retire to that inner man. Paul was not like this. He said, then our outward man perisheth, and the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said, my flesh is failing. My eyes are failing. My body is broken down. But my inner man is not weak. But the lost man that doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God, everything takes him. No walk with God, no one to depend on. He is forever controlled by his circumstances. Forever controlled. You know how many people make excuses? They are literally Christian people that are controlled by their circumstances. Christians aren't controlled by their circumstances. We rise above our circumstances. We're not controlled by them. In spite of everything that we go through and everything that life throws at us, we are more than conquerors. We rise above it. We don't give up. We don't quit. We don't walk away. Circumstances don't change us. Paul's in prison. He's like, but I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Yeah, you're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles in prison. And you're going to write all these wonderful letters while you have time to sit down, because we can't keep you sitting down, Paul. Paul was moving, man. So God said, it's time to sit Paul down for a while so he can write. I got Brother Ross over there. And over in Scotland. He's got a surgery coming on his throat. He's got a grand mal. How do you say that? Granoma? Grand, man. Granomula? I don't know how to say that. What's that? No. It's like a... It's like a cyst on his throat, grand something. I don't know what he called it. He called it something like that. He's going to lose the use of his voice for 8 weeks. They're going to inject him with Botox in his throat because it came back. He's had it gone twice and it's come back. And I told him, I said, brother, while that goes on, you get your pen out and you start writing. You can't speak, but you can write. And you write your sermons, and you write letters, and you write things, and you continue on ministering and doing the Lord's work. Just because that happens doesn't mean that God's finished with you. You got 8 weeks, you're going to be quiet. You get your pen busy and you get working. Amen. He was encouraged by that. He said that he would. See, the lost man is controlled by what comes his way. He responds accordingly. Whatever comes his way is circumstances. He rushes off into pleasure seeking to make him forget about his troubles. Now, even saved people can be tempted to do that, but it will do nothing for them. It will never pacify you. Christians have the inner man, the new birth. They are saved by grace. Trials and tribulation work growth in us. They try our faith to make the inner man stronger. Our minds and bodies may not be strong, but the inner man is made to stand in the face of all adversity. The inner man, the regenerated man given by Christ, enables us to get victory over the devil. We sometimes suffer many trials and tribulations that befall us and temptations. We are attacked in mind and body and thought and feel very weak. Then Satan overplays his hand. And then we see that it is him attacking us and we remember who we are in Christ. And then we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto death. See, Satan will reveal himself. If you hang on long enough, he'll reveal himself and his kingdom and the attacks that you're facing many times. You'll see that it's a spiritual battle that you're facing. It takes a while sometimes for you to notice that. You just think of the flesh so much that you ignore the spirit and you ignore the battle that's there. And we realize that this is an attack of the devil. The inner man will be strengthened and we will fight. We then are made more than conquerors. Satan likes to hide in our trials and our tribulations. But once him and his cohorts are recognized, then we can retire to the inner man and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Do you have the inner man? Has your soul been saved by grace through faith? Have you repented and put your faith and trust in Christ? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? If you were to die today, are your sins forgiven? It's as simple as repenting and believing the gospel. We should know that we have the inner man. His spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That is not always a perfect assurance, but it is a perfect salvation. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, we need to immunize the inner man. Build up the spiritual immunity for the battles that we're facing. The battles that are ahead that we don't know about. The trials that we're in right now. Lord, many are weak in the spirit and sickly. They have no spiritual strength. Their immunity is not strong in the inner man. God, please strengthen your children. Help us to pray properly. Help us to understand what you expect from us. Help us to glean this from the scriptures and not ignore them. Dear God, work in people's hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.